We're going to get into God's Word right now. And if you want to follow this message in your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. We're going to read a few verses from that in just a moment. You'll find message notes, by the way, on the website as well as on the app. Just click on the media tab. And at the bottom of the message notes, you'll find some discussion questions. They're great for you, for your connect groups, or if you're catching up with some friends on Zoom, of course, or if you just want to go a little bit deeper in your own study, those discussion questions will be very, very helpful. We're going to continue the Courageous Love series. This is part 6, and we're right in the middle of discussing Paul's 3 great graces. Often in his letters, he talked about faith, hope, and love. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says the greatest of those is the last one. So we've left it to last. We're going to touch on that in a couple of weeks' time. But I want to just continue on the theme of courageous hope. And the title of the message is Things to Look Forward To. Things to Look Forward To. I'm looking forward to restrictions being eased. What about you? If you're anything like me, last Sunday when the pathway out of stage 4 was released, I was a little bit disappointed. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is just a little slower than I was kind of hoping it would be. Maybe you felt like that as well. But through this time, we stay strong in hope because we're looking forward to the things that are at the other side of this. I'm looking forward to connect groups, being able to meet face to face, for us to be able to see one another and not just on little Zoom screens as well. Why don't you join me in prayer? One of my prayers at the moment is for the numbers, the daily numbers to be dramatically decreased. Let's, as a church, unite in prayer for that, because as the numbers decrease, then the rollout from stage 4 into easing restrictions is going to be brought forward, which is great news. I'm looking forward to going to cafes again, catching up with friends for breakfast, maybe having a holiday. Other things people might be looking forward to is a pay rise or maybe a job or your business coming back online again. Looking forward to seeing loved ones. Sometime in the future, you're going to be able to have your friends and your family around. Maybe some of your family members will come and stay with you. And then, of course, another kind of hope kicks in after a few days, and that is the hope that they will leave at some point in time. And so we're going to look at things to look forward to in this message. And if you look with me at the text today, Romans 8, and we're going to pick it up at verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption, our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait patiently for it. I'm going to get back to that text in just a moment and unpack that a little bit. Paul's writing these words in a fairly hopeless society. In fact, a typical inscription on a gravestone in Paul's day was this: I was not, I became, I am not, I care not. They were a cheerful bunch in the first century. The definition of hope, things to look forward to, or the happy anticipation of good. Hope in the Bible, in the New Testament, is described with 4 adjectives. Hope is good, hope is blessed, hope is living, and our hope as followers of Jesus is better. Hope is the happy anticipation of good and describes the things that followers of Jesus are looking forward to. And I want to touch on 2 of those things today. The first of them is the hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2, Paul writes these words: while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, over the years, people have got kind of hung up on the timing of the second coming. Some people are pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib. Some people are pre-millennial, post-millennial, amillennial. I've decided, because you can prove all of these things from Scripture, I've decided that I'm really pan-millennial. I kind of think that it'll all pan out in the end. Because we can get so bogged down in the details of when Jesus is coming back that we actually miss the truth, that we are waiting for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we hear people say, you know, oh, what's the world coming to? World's terrible, this is happening, that's happening, everything's going wrong. What is the world coming to? Well, in hope, I say to you that the world is coming to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we're encouraged by those words. And so back to our text, Romans chapter 8, verse 22, Paul says, we know the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. The creation of God is groaning under the stress and strain of the fall, of the curse, of sin. But not only the creation, Paul says, we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. These are things that we're looking forward to right now. Groaning is to experience a common calamity together. That's what the Greek word there means, that is translated into our English word groaning. It's much more than just a deep groan. It's in community as followers of Jesus Christ. We are experiencing common calamity together. And so right now, of course, with COVID-19, we are groaning in the midst of all that it means to be in a global pandemic. We're looking forward with hope to this time being over and some kind of normal being reinstituted. And so together we have this common experience of calamity. Paul says, we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship. And then he describes what that adoption is, the redemption of our bodies. You ever felt kind of frustrated with your body? You know, you get tired, sometimes you get sick, sometimes you're weak or frail. You know, your body might not function in the way that you would like it to at times. Or maybe you live with a condition whereby your body actually is never able to function in a way that it was designed to function. But the Bible says we courageously live in hope because there's a day that's coming at the second coming of Jesus Christ where creation will be redeemed and our bodies will be redeemed as well. And that's good news. We're courageous in hope. We look forward to those things. That's a happy anticipation of good. And that leads me to my second point here, and that's the hope of resurrection, because at the second coming of Jesus, we will be raised up together with him. And at that point, our bodies will be changed and transformed. The second coming of Jesus is the time of the resurrection of God's people, something the Apostle Paul referred to as his hope in the resurrection of the dead. A number of years ago, a Russian leader, Leonid Brezhnev, he passed away in 1982, but for 18 years, he was the general secretary of the Communist Party. He's remembered for many things, not least of all his crazy eyebrows, as you will see in this particular photo. When he came to power, he was given a brief that he was to make new lands agriculturally productive. He really failed at that brief because he spent most of his time developing the Soviet missile and nuclear arms program. In 1982, he passed away. And I want to tell you about an incident at Brezhnev's funeral, which makes his life in atheistic, communistic USSR very, very interesting. When he died in 1982, the US representative at his state funeral was Vice President George H.W. Bush. He remembers being moved by Victoria, his wife, Leonid Brezhnev's wife, her actions that day, which was to be her last public appearance. She stood without moving by her husband's coffin until seconds before it was closed. Then, just as the soldiers touched the lid, Victoria leaned over her husband's body and made the sign of the cross. There at the center of an atheist empire, she traced the image of our hope and salvation on the body of the man she had loved for 54 years. Did she have faith in God's love for us? hope that there was more in our destiny than the black end of atheism? Well, she must have done. For to so publicly express hope in Christ in an atheist nation where Christian people were persecuted, arrested, and imprisoned was an act of great courage. These are the things that Mr. Bush recollected from his time at Brezhnev's funeral. There is a hope deep down in the vast majority of people that this life does not end at death. For the follower of Jesus, this hope is a real hope. As Paul explains in 1 Thessalonians 4, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are alive or still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. What a wonderful occasion that is going to be. As part of your future, my future, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that a point in time in the future, as Jesus returns, a resurrection, the dead in Christ will be raised first. Any followers of Jesus on planet Earth at that time will be raised second. We will meet the Lord Jesus in the air, and we will escort him on his journey to earth, where he will establish his kingdom forever. The Lord's prayer will be answered at that point. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because heaven comes to earth. At Christ's second coming, our hope of being made like him will be realized. What a wonderful hope that is. John talks about this. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. And so I ask you again, you ever get tired of your imperfections? Ever get tired of your physical limitations? Ever get tired of the stresses and failures of this world? If you answer yes to any of those, you're in great company. So be encouraged as a follower of Jesus. Jesus Christ is coming back. Our bodies will be redeemed and we will be transformed and made just like Jesus. And so in this season of life, this global pandemic, with all of its ups and downs, with all of its good and bad, triumphs and tragedies, let's choose to be courageous in hope, church. We all have things to look forward to in this life, and we all have things to look forward to in the life that is to come.